Hello and welcome to the what podcast are we on, guys? 21st? 22nd? 21st?
Yep, we're now 21. Officially old enough to drink.
We are old enough to drink, baby. We are on the 21st Planet Destiny podcast, at least drinking in the U.S. This week we have the normal hosts. We got me, we got Tefty, we got Briar, we got Pope Bear. We also have another special returning guest. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
What's up, everybody? I'm BBK Dragoon. I'm a Destiny and Halo YouTuber. I've been making YouTube videos now for about 3.5 years, and I've also been making videos for Planet Destiny now since about January, I think, and also run a Destiny News podcast called Destiny the Show with co-host Diddy. He was on the show,
back in February. So that was the only time I think Papercut ever appeared on the podcast.
That's right.
We've been getting a lot of requests to have him back. We need to get him with like all the other people from Planet Destiny on as well. We have so many people.
Indeed.
We have so many people here. Like, I can't just... We got everyone that had been on the planet, like, from the normal Planet Destiny team on a podcast. We would have, like, 12 people on there. And as much as I want to edit 12 separate audio channels for the podcast...
Mega.
I really...
Mega podcast.
Yeah, really don't want to. Really don't want
to. Well, that's one of the reasons why I find the website so valuable, is that there's so many opinions and news sources that come into it, and it feels like it's super updated.
Oh, yeah.
So when I go to it, I find that I'm now going there first to get my news, even though I'm doing my normal internet searches and stuff. But I find myself, like, going immediately there to see what's new because it seems like it's updated so often.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we got some good topics to talk about here. So... as many of you guys know, there was a pretty big leak with the Taken King this week. And I'd just like to kind of explore some of the things that were leaked in the Kotaku article specifically. So a lot of things were leaked there, so there's going to be some spoilers here, or supposed spoilers, if this leak is to be believed. So what we have here, we have, like, the release date. Apparently it's going to be, like, the 15th of September. So almost directly a year after the original Destiny got released, The Taken King will be released. Like, for the first topic of discussion, we know this is supposed to be a lot larger than, you know, the other two expansions. It's supposed to almost rival the size of original Destiny. So what do you guys think the level cap is going to be raised to, if that's the case?
38. I'm throwing it out there.
Throwing out 38?
Four levels. Mm.
So yeah. Four more levels?
Yeah.
That's two DLCs combined? Seems about right. That seems about right.
Yeah. Yeah.
That sounds good to me.
Yeah.
I could see it going anywhere from 38 to 40, you know? Like, mm-hmm. I could also even see them thinking that they're just going to make it a two-level gap every time and that the grind is this new etheric light, you know?
Sure.
Because they've definitely changed the system now. It's a different experience. It's, you know, getting to 34 was so quick this time around, and I think that they made it... they made the process clearly different from when we first got Vanilla Destiny. So
quick,
I don't
maybe?
Know if they're going to continue that.
Yeah,
I'd say it was too quick. Yeah.
Well, I don't know if it's necessarily too quick. I like to have the light level, the damage level, but what I do think is that the perks within them, activating the perks within them, happen too quickly. Like the the bubbles within them, I would have wanted those to take longer.
See, I'm gonna disagree with you there.
Okay.
I mean, okay, we're just going to go, we're not even 5 minutes on the podcast, and, you know, I'm just going to go ahead and mention World of Warcraft, guys.
Okay.
Is that a record?
I think that's a record.
Yeah.
Like, in WoW, you reach the level cap, you have gotten every single ability already. Like, everything has 100% opened up to you, so you learn how to use your character while leveling up, and you have every opportunity to use every talent to figure out, you know, what you like and what you don't. Whereas in Destiny... I had to level up this Warlock, and my Voidwalker spec wasn't even fully leveled up by the time I finished leveling everything up. Like, I got maximum level from doing story missions, doing some PvP, yada yada, and my Voidwalker still had, like, 5 or 6 bubbles left to go in there, so I hadn't even touched Sunsinger.
That's the weird thing about Destiny, isn't it? Is that they separate your level and your light level into two different kind of leveling up processes.
Yeah.
So you hit max level almost by the time you finish the main storyline of Destiny. You know, most people are at like 18, real close.
18 or so. So, you know, you do your next, you know, wave of bounties and you're there.
But you actually continue to level up by, you know, kind of finding armor. And in the original Destiny, that was quite a process. Trying to get the helmet from the Vault of Glass so that you could hit level 30. For me, that was my hang-up. I know other people, maybe it was the boots or the
gauntlets.
The gauntlets, yeah, whatever it was.
I didn't have any problems. I don't know what all your problems are.
Well, I got it. You're just special.
Yeah, I got all the armor.
We already know that about you.
All the armor, first run, done. All the armor in the first run. I know what you're trying
Everybody
to say.
Everybody has, every raid team has that guy.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he's the guy that just like, oh, I'm getting my third Fatebringer.
My fourth Gallivorm.
If it makes it feel any better, I didn't get any weapons at all for the first, like, four runs of Vault of Glass. I was using a blue scout, blue 240-something damage scout rifle for the first 4 weeks of Destiny.
Doesn't make me feel any better.
No, it doesn't. Me neither.
Well, I tried.
The guy that took freaking a month before I found a pair of boots. Yeah, that was me.
There were people who played the game quite a bit and didn't actually hit level 30 until the Dark Below came out.
Oh, well, here's my concern with the level cap, and the reason why I like this sort of change in direction. They've tied in the level or light level or your level of your character to access of content, and I don't really think it's a good idea to limit what content you have access to because you're grinding and trying to. That's a sense of frustration. I can't get this piece of armor or this light level because I'm not grinding enough to find it, and therefore I can't access content I've paid for. To me, I feel like the light level, I really like what they've done where they've given you the ability to easily find 42, which brought you to, you know, 34 level fairly easily. Mm-hmm. But within that, you know, so you're able to access content, but then within that, to access all the perks within that armor set, you needed to spend time to experience that gun or that weapon, and then therefore you found your favorites within that. So I like that. I like that change from, you know, grinding to get equal to all my friends to saying, oh no, we really shouldn't have a gap between, you know, the haves and the have-nots. Let's make it relatively easy for all of you guys to be 34 so you can play with your friends in these activities. But then within that, you have to spend time and really learn your perk sets and stuff.
Right.
So that was sort of my take on what the direction they took.
Well, so I just want to interject a little bit.
Sure.
I agree with you 100% on that. I think the reason why they decided to make two level jumps with each expansion is because of the access of content, because it makes sense. Like you can't have, let's say they raise it to 40 and then they say that the Nightfall is 38. Nobody would be able to do the Nightfall the first week because it would be level 38. And nobody's going to hit 38 unless it's Etheric Light and we have all this extra Etheric Light, which also brings another point. They can't really continue with the same path that they did this time, because everybody would have a bunch of Etheric Light built up to just suddenly level up all their gear.
That was
going to
be my next question, is if they, when they increase the level cap, how do you think they're going to do it? Are they going to go with the older system of, you know, you have to just straight up get better armor that has it? Or are they going to keep the ascending system in the game?
Yeah. And also they have Vanguard. They've got Vanguard and Crucible gear that you can purchase, and then they've got drops out in the world. And as it's been, the Vanguard and Crucible is a stepping stone to getting the end game drops. So they can't really introduce a third or fourth drop system until you get to the end game. So that's why I don't know if it really makes sense that they're going to give us a lot more light level in between getting those levels, you know?
What
is and also this, the subclass is going to be the extra XP that you have to spend, you know?
What if that's extra level? Maybe you got get your guardian up to level 30 to get that subclass. Not your light level, but your actual guardian level up to 30.
That's how they kind of raise.
Oh, interesting. Your light level, instead of 20, you hit 30 on your guardian.
Yeah.
Well, they've already notated in some of the updates that year one maximum light levels is going to end at year one. So when we're talking about these next step, it's going to be new gear. We will reach a point with this stuff that 34 will be maximum light level within year one, or, you know, speculated to be. So it's new gear and potentially a new system, right?
Yeah, no, that's like what Briar's talking about. You'd be raising it from 20 via XP that you put into your character to potentially 30. And that would be more of a grind for sure. And maybe you, maybe in order to hit, maybe in order to equip light level, you know, 50 armor, you have to be light level 30 on your character. Yeah, you know, so that would be the new grind.
That's something that hadn't have even occurred to me. Is like, yeah, they might just introduce an entirely new system where we had to have to kind of level up like we did in the original Destiny to even equip some of this armor. So
yeah, that would make a lot of sense.
Which we haven't done in a long time, and frankly, could feel kind of awesome, but it does raise the point Tefty brought up. Yeah, we're not going to be able to do that Nightfall that first week unless you really grind it out.
Yeah. But
that's okay, isn't it? Like, to miss one Nightfall week? Maybe two?
I mean, yeah, like,
I don't know if they're going to do that, though.
I remember doing the Nightfall the very first week, and that was, woo, woo. That was intense. Yeah, that felt like a challenge, because we went in there, like, at the bare minimum level. And we're like, oh, what's this arc burn thing? Oh, it does more damage. And then we got eaten alive by one
shot. Did you have Vog gear equipped?
No. Because it hadn't been released. Remember, Vault of Glass, I don't think...
I don't think
it came out until... What was it, like Friday?
20-something.
Was it not out the first week? It wasn't out the first...
No, Vault of Glass was later.
Yeah, Vault of Glass.
It was like two weeks later, right? Yeah. I forgot about that, yeah.
Yeah, you know, it was just in the gear that we had gotten from Rock Strikes, from what little we grinded up to get from the Vanguard. I was using, like, a green fusion rifle that had the correct damage type on it for the majority of it. And, we were huddled back, you know, going up against the Devil Walker. It's what really kind of reinforced the whole cheesing aspect of the game. Because we had to get through that first Nightfall. It was such a grind. And then, you know, I got like Ascendant Energy for my first week. So I was like, oh, yay, use it to upgrade weapons.
Which was very useful,
except for to me, because I didn't have any new weapons to use it on.
It's easy to forget how hard Nightfalls used to be before you had all the primaries that did damage, you know, elemental damage and stuff.
Yeah.
They were difficult.
And the scene wasn't, like, developed at that point, too, to where it is now, where we have guides, we have so many resources to fall back upon, strategies that we've learned. It was such an adventure at that time. I really
didn't have Gallahorn.
Yeah.
That's the real thing.
Well, you guys did.
Well, I mean, most of us didn't have Gallahorn. The universal tool, right? They actually should have called that the universal remote.
Yeah.
I mean,
more honestly. Fitting.
but ultimately I think that, so to go back to that Kotaku article, right, it's talking about the Taken King being $40. Like, when you look at that, a new strikes with an S, right? So let's assume this is also speculation, right? So we don't know, obviously we don't know. So it says new strikes, new PvP maps with an S, both with an S, a raid, this raid, no S.
Raids?
And,
oh my god.
Raids. but anyway, so what do you I always love Kotaku articles because they always throw like a jab in there, you know? They can't just talk about Destiny like as in a positive way. You know, it says Crota, you may remember, was the big bad raid boss in the game's first expansion pack. He had a crippling weakness to land cables. Yes. I guess my first question to all of us is, would you buy that for $1? I mean, would you buy it for $40? I mean, is that worth $40 to you?
Yeah.
Yes. I would buy it.
I mean, look, like we're a pretty biased subset of people to ask that question.
All right, so Briar, you okay, so here's this. Say the Taken King was sold. How much would you've never played Destiny before, right? And you've just crawled out of your cave. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh my god, there's this game called Destiny. Oh my gosh. And you buy the limited edition or whatever, the collector's edition of Destiny, and it comes out with, you know, Dark Below, House of Wolves, The Taken King. How much are you spending for that?
You know, it's hard to answer that question because I've got the history in my head of playing all this Destiny. I know how much value this represents to me. So... for that, all that content, I would easily say $100 is a fair price.
So I'm thinking they come out with a, I don't know what they called it in WoW, but like where you buy the edition that brings you up to speed on something.
Okay,
battle chest.
Yeah, they have the battle chest, yeah. But that would only this would be about the correct time because there's been, you know, two major content releases
They're being advised by Activision, so yeah. It really makes sense. So $99 is my was sticking in my head.
I would say it's going to replace the Digital Guardian Edition. And yeah, that's 90 bucks.
If you want to buy everything, probably have to call.
So imagine those guys. I'm really jealous of those guys.
Yeah.
Because think of the game.
Oh, me too. Oh my God.
Think of the game they're going to get.
Yeah.
Hmm.
It's incredible.
I paid $100 for mine and got to House of Wolves, right? And for $100, they're going to get, in some ways, the game that I think should have been available for $100.
I honestly feel that if I were to get Destiny today with all the content that's available, I would be overwhelmed because the raids, like the two raids and the stuff that's available in there, and then Prison of Elders and then Trials of Osiris and then all the PvP maps. I mean, that it's a lot to take in for a new user, you know, and in experiencing, okay, there's like, why does Vault of Glass gear start at light level 18, but then I can go buy the stuff at the Vanguard for the, you know, there'd be all these questions that would be extremely confusing. So I don't know if I would say that this is the definitive version for year one, personally, you know, because of going through the journey and growing with it. I feel like I would have missed a lot if I didn't.
Yeah, but that's the case with any game of this type, you know. If you're looking again at WoW, the big part is going through the patch cycle. You know, when you buy an expansion, you're going to experience patch, you know, 5.1, 5.2, or whatever it is. And that's a journey you go through with the regular players of the community, just like Destiny has gone through your vanilla era, the Dark Below era, your House of Wolves era. And when you look at the new player coming in, I agree. I think I would be intimidated and not know where to start. Does Bungie need to put something in place to sort of shepherd or guide those new players along towards how they need to get geared up to experience current content?
I think they need to look at their in-game menus, and for that to happen, I think there needs to be more of a tutorial. Like when I picked up WoW for to play it new, a new guy to play WoW like a year ago, right? I really felt like when I jumped in and I knew nothing about WoW, right? I really felt like I had a really good tutorial that got me up to speed.
Yeah, because Blizzard they realize that someone's just coming into the game after it's been out for 7 or 8 years, there's too much. So the starting zones have a very, very friendly tutorial system that's built in there where, okay, this is how, you know, you move around. This is how you do a quest. This is how general combat works. And then all the starting missions are kind of built around slowly teaching you everything. Of course, Destiny isn't on that level yet, but as...
Yeah, I mean, it's not a year old yet, you know?
Yeah, it's not even a year old yet, but I have had conversations with some people where they're like, oh, that's what that does, or my Sunsinger, that's, you know, that's what Self-Revive does, or, like, there's all this stuff they don't realize what it does, well, even at this level of the
weapon
game.
Weapon perks alone can confuse somebody. I mean, I've got a buddy that I've been trying to convince to play Destiny because he's a huge Halo fan, and he is just scared of the game because of the complexity. He watches my videos and is like, I don't think I can play this game. I'm too far behind, you know? You're absolutely right, Pope, or actually Patrick and Pope and whoever brought it up about it needs a... Actually, Dragoon, you brought it up. It needs a system to bring people in that are outside the community and get them on board in game.
Some of the interfaces. Yeah, some of the other things on the interfaces. We talked about this in a previous podcast where, hey, what's the difference between all the scopes? Yeah, we can see that some of the scopes will change your stats, but what's the difference between excellent and superb target acquisition?
Some of that language
does that do?
Right, and some of that language is, I mean, why sites like Planet Destiny are so useful to the community. Yeah. Because somebody in chat asked me to explain what the difference between aim assist and, you know, better target acquisition. Some of the language is, you can make assumptions as to what it is, but it's not really, you know, those assumptions are often wrong. I mean, what does it do? There's just information that you need. When you get to that level of the game and you want to know more about your character, it's sufficiently good at describing for the beginning player what it does. Then there's a next level when you want to min-max your characters, right? What do you go to a resource like Planet Destiny and you can start getting all the data that's in the back end that we can get out and pull out and show for you, but isn't really there in the user interface front end. And I think that that's something that, you know, Destiny, like as a game, counts on sites like ours to be able to, for the hardcore player to get that information from. I think that's why some hardcore players are frustrated, because they go like, what is this like bar here do? Why don't I have a number? I want to see a number. Like, what is the damage points, you know?
That's how every game is, though. You know, like, you play Diablo. Diablo doesn't tell you how to min-max your character. You got to go and you got to figure that stuff out on your
for right, yourself. And I'm
you
not...
got to go on the web and, you know, talk to other people who are trying to do the same thing.
Right, sure, I'm not saying
World
that.
Warcraft,
yeah.
They don't.
Right.
They don't tell you how to min-max your character.
They don't, the but if you were trying to min-max your character, let's just take it like this. If you're trying to min-max your character in World of Warcraft, you have all the stats in game there.
What is Patrick? What does that mean, min-max? Okay, if somebody's listening.
Okay, say you want your character to be at their absolute maximum. You also have to make your gear to be like to have the absolute best stats. Or, you know, your sniper rifle to have the absolute most aim assistance, or the most in the magazine. Like, there's a minimum value that can be applied to all those, and a maximum value that can be applied to all those. And obviously, if you're a player of very high skill, you want your character, you want your armor, you want your guns to have the absolute best stats on them as well, so you want them...
For that play style.
Yeah, for that play style.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So, in World of Warcraft, they tell you which stats you should prioritize as this specific spec. And then you can look in the game, they have it in there now, where you can look at all the loot and see which has the best stats, and then you can just kind of plan it from there. Yes, it is much easier to go to a different website and plan it all out there on a spreadsheet, but still, it's available in the game. Whereas in Destiny, it's simply not there.
It's also different, though.
Yeah, it is a lot different.
It's different. It's different in that when if we technically min-max a Destiny character, we're going for a build in our subclass, and then we're going for specific weapons with mm-hmm. specific perks, and then the same thing with the armor. So, because we look at intellect, discipline, and strength as, you know, they're necessary, but they're not really the min-max of Destiny.
Correct.
Yes. You know?
So that's why it's confusing for a lot of people, because in Diablo, it's purely stat-based.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to do this much damage on this per second and these type of weapons. But in Destiny, there's the skill gap, I should say, between players is very high. You know, if you're not good at first person shooters, you could have a maxed out character and you're still going to not do that great because you're not that great at first person shooters. So,
and that's why min-maxing is generally often thought of as, you know, something that the higher skilled players do, because they want to take their character that extra step.
You know what it is? It's the bridge between the beginner and the min-max player.
Yeah.
There's nothing in the middle right there to shepherd people.
I was going to wager they're probably going to insert some sort of catch-up mechanic for new players as soon as Taken King arrives. If you're somebody who's a fresh level one, I doubt that the progression will be the same or things will be weighted the same in terms of XP. And where the disconnect I see comes in is between level 20 and getting to level 34. That gear difference. I mean, how many times have you read comments on Planet Destiny when a new expansion comes out? How do I get to level 34? Or the frustration of, I'll never get to this higher level.
I still see comments of people going, hey, I'm level 22. You know, how do I level? And
we just got a new clan member, and he's doing exactly that. He's stuck in that, or he was stuck for about 3 weeks in that area between 20 and 32.
Yeah.
And it's still a very long process.
Oh, yeah.
I hadn't done it in so long that I forgot about it. And it is still a nightmare process, because you're basically either waiting for purple drops or to get enough rep to buy...
Plasteel plating.
Plasteel plating.
I mean, yeah,
that's the real grind.
Hey, Briar, I started... I had 3 Titans, right? Up until for about 40 days played of the game. I had 3 Titans. Then I decided to delete 2 of them and create a warlock and a hunter. The grind is real when you do not have the sapphire wire. And but speaking of new characters, right, taking a look at the Kotaku article again, so it talks about warlock, hunters, and titan. Which one are you guys most excited about? Which one sounds the coolest from what you've read?
It's got to be the void bow.
The Void Bow?
Void Bow. Hunter Void, Void Bow.
So does it, so some people on Reddit are asking if when you spawn that Void Bow, does it also give you a pony as well to ride around on?
Love it.
It's got a sparrow painted like a horse.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. It's like you literally have a bow and arrow made out of void energy. You pull it back and you get like a one-shot massive damage kind of shot. Or maybe it has different perks kind of like the Void Walker does, you know, with the Nova Bomb, where maybe you can shoot three arrows at the same time that, you know.
Oh, you can Robin Hood it? You can Robin Hood it?
Yeah. I mean,
so maybe that's a perk within the build?
There's so many different
ways
you can go by it, but I just want to see that thing pull back. And then maybe the longer you pull it back, the more powerful it is.
Yeah.
I mean, there's...
See, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
I was thinking maybe it has like attributes like the Scorch Cannon, like the more damage it charges up. Oh, you know?
Yeah, that'd be cool. Yeah,
so maybe you do a quick fire, and maybe there's like a certain amount of energy that it spends up, and the longer you hold back, the bigger the energy it takes up. So
but
you
if
can
you
do,
hold
like,
it too long,
shot.
It blows up in your face.
Ooh,
yeah, exactly. I love that. You break the bow and just slap back.
Yeah, so
and then you only
have
one shot. So if you waste it on a quick one, then you do less damage to a boss, or maybe you don't even do full damage to a guardian.
So it's it's like a hard light bow, you know, something that your class sort of generates a hard light bow and arrow, and then it disappears when your super is gone. Like okay, so you draw the bow, right? Mm-hmm. The longer you hold the bow, the more power it absorbs. So your super energy bar goes down quicker, but then it translates into the bow, and then when you release it, that energy is released in the bow's strike force.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
I like it.
Yep.
I don't know.
It's really creative.
It would be really cool, too, is if there was a perk where you could attach, make it like a bomb, you know? So as you fire it, maybe there's like a delayed explosion or something like that, or another way to trigger it. Like maybe a melee triggers the bomb upon attaching, you know?
Whatever it is, I hope it's different than you pop your super and then you, you know, run around. I'm hunting you. You know, you can hunt people in the Crucible. You can hunt your targets for a while, which, you know, you're a hunter. That should be what you do. But I'd really like there to be a more support role, kind of like a Titan bubble, something along those lines, where maybe it'll be more group beneficial to pop this bow. I don't know.
Nah, I like our idea better.
Well, I think when you're building that Void Bow class setup, what if something that Chris, what Tefty was talking about is, what if you could create something like a trip mine grenade?
Yeah.
That's a proximity detonating grenade, and you could, as a hunter, attach that to a surface that would be it would be a proximity detonation in a void damage for X amount of time that it's available, right?
There you go. Like yeah.
So you could strategically place a area effect grenade, you know, at distance, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
What about that'd flaming cool. hammer, man?
Yeah,
that's yeah. Like I'm gonna lie. I'm excited
with a
about that.
Like Mario in Donkey Kong, just like pounding the ground, running around.
Like, no, like Super Smash Brothers. I want it to be the Super Smash Brothers hammer.
And in my mind, I'm thinking like Thor from
he hurls it right
from Avengers. I'm thinking, you know, you could build up your super energy, kind of like the. You know, and I'm guessing here. I have absolutely no idea. So what if the longer you hold on to your swinging hammer, it gets more powerful? I don't know.
Mm. Be interesting.
So it'd be a ranged super for the Titan. That'd be good.
Yeah.
You use does it come back good. To you or does it disappear?
Oh, that'd be awesome if it did damage cool? going out and then coming back too.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Like a boomerang type of thing.
So yeah, because cool Thor's hammer comes back to him, right? Always.
Yep. Yep.
It's true. Are you saying your Titan is Thor?
I'm saying that the closer my Titan gets to Thor, the better it's going to be, because I am so excited for a Titan super to be a range offensive weapon.
Yep.
Yeah. That would be cool.
You have death from above. You just fling your body at them. That's a range super. Come on.
No. Everybody who's played as a Titan for any number of times, and I'm going to get flamed in the comments for this, but you come out of a Titan smash about as vulnerable as a newborn baby. You're standing there for like what feels like an eternity. You know, You've like stunned yourself.
Not when you do it properly.
Says the one that just got a triple kill.
You have to tie your shoe. Yeah. As you finish it up, you're just like, oh my shoe's untied. Let me just fix that first. Yeah.
If you do it properly, the only thing that should be watching you are the corpses of your newly fallen enemies.
Yes.
Yeah, your triple or breaker medals that are watching you.
Whatever.
Unless the enemy team lags out and just watches you smash the ground and shoots you from 2 feet away.
Right. Or if they or if that hunter blinks.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, they just blink.
Wait, what if you get blink with solar?
Oh my goodness.
Oh wow.
Sometimes I have felt that Bungie's strategy for nerfing things that are broken is to give it to everybody.
Add more of them, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, Felt Winters was broken. Rather than taking it away from everybody and pissing everybody who had it off, they created the Party Crasher and Matador and said, you want to even the playing field? Here's a shotgun. Here's a shotgun. Here's a shotgun.
Yeah.
And they just gave everybody the shotgun.
Yeah.
But no more like Hammer Forge, Return to Sender, God rolls on the Felwinter, man. I miss that. Like, if you've got one of those OG old Felwinters, hold on to it, man.
But they made the Party Crasher and Matador of equal stature to those OG Felwinters.
Yes.
With the right perk rolls, indeed.
Yep. Which means that eventually we'll get a shotgun nerf. Yay!
Well, how about the storm? The new storm for the warlocks. What do you guys think that's going to be?
Nah. Sounds AOE, doesn't it?
It does a little bit.
It just sounds sort of like smash A. You have the circular AOE, deal damage to everybody around you, kind of a thing. But I could be wrong.
I was kind of hoping it'd be like Emperor Palpatine.
Yeah, I think everyone wanted that.
Oh,
wow, that would be amazing.
Ultimate power.
That would be nuts. I would be thrilled over that.
It chains between enemies.
Oh my god.
Is that close enough? Maybe.
That'd be really cool.
I would have to delete one of my hunters on the Xbox just to have the warlock.
I'm hoping that it's not the Titan lightning grenades out of your hands.
Oh my god. No. That would make me switch to warlock. Like if I just had
imagine if you were grenades. It's essentially a warlock popping two lightning grenades and holding them. You know, like flares.
You could aim them at people.
Oh my goodness.
That would be frustrating.
Wouldn't it?
That would piss me off.
The tears would sustain me.
Oh my goodness. The tears would sustain me. Oh my god.
Until you got flame hammered.
Yeah, until you got
void bowed.
A lot of hype for the new subclasses,
we still don't even know exactly what they are yet.
These may be completely wrong.
There's also think about melees too, like new melees for all the classes.
Maybe the Titan will actually be able to hit something.
Nah.
Instead of his
never
his right
you know the little Tyrannosaurus Rex arms.
yeah,
as you like, should be, because if anyone actually gets close enough to a Titan to get meleeed by him,
it's the shoulder charge.
You know, Titans actually don't have. It's a really interesting species of guardian. They actually don't have elbows. It's just forearms, and they just kind of swing.
That's what it feels like in Trials of Osiris. Like I play all three classes, and I go 9-0 every week. And every time I'm on my Titan, I have to remember that I don't have the ability to actually melee something properly. Like. I have to get right up in their face and really start going for them there. Otherwise, no, not going to work.
It's hard to do that, too. Like, if you start getting used to, like, the hunter's knife throw.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden you find yourself hitting that melee button from 10 feet away.
Oh, yeah. Trust me. I have my Hawk Moon. I'm like, okay, one headshot, all right. Oh, why did I just melee? That's why I'm dead.
I would love to shoulder charge. As
what if they get
oh gosh
bounce off
you like double jump into a shoulder charge.
I want a blink shoulder charge.
Oh my god,
and then follow up with the matador.
Oh god, no. I whatever happens with the hunter class, I hope that the void guys still keep throwing knife. Maybe.
Oh, that would be awesome, but I don't know, I feel like they gotta introduce something else, you know.
It's hard to get away from that knife. Every piece of gear for my hunter now currently has a knife on it, so I'm like carrying like 8 knives on.
I know. Oh my god! All the new knives. There's just so many. I'm like my armor. Basically, if you go get the new Vanguard set, every single piece has a knife. I'm waiting for the helmet that has a knife just protruding from some random place on it.
I honestly want those knives to be in the animation of whatever, you know, when you equip it, he pulls the knife from that spot and it's the.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, like I'd love to see him pull out one from the side sheath on his glove right now. That'd be really cool. Okay, so one of the other things in the weekly update that I want us to speculate on, like I want to get a solid 20 to 30 minutes of speculation in on this. Guys, what the hell is in that chest? If they're taking an E3. I want to know what's in it, man. What's in the box?
Icebreaker. A big one.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
a functioning icebreaker.
Yeah, an actual functioning icebreaker. That would be pretty good. I don't know. I'm happy. I'm going to be at E3, so I might be able to see it, whatever it is.
I feel like it's going to be a replica of one of the rocket launchers.
Yeah. I think we were BSing a little bit before the show started, and Pope had the idea it might be a Scorch Cannon.
I'd like to see
Yellowhorn.
Yeah, or Yellowhorn. Maybe it's both. It's a big enough case. They can, like, line them up side by side.
Dual wielding rocket launchers. You can have two Yellowhorns. That's the announcement.
That's
for the
big reveal.
Yeah, you get two of them. You can solo everything.
Sacrifice your primary for another Yellowhorn.
I think, dude, imagine. I think LFG. Every single person would take that choice.
Oh yeah.
I mean, it would make PvP really difficult because I don't know. Can't do anything till heavy round, but man.
Yeah. Right. What if there's a perk on one of the subclasses that allows you to forego an exotic armor for another exotic weapon?
Whatever happens, I definitely want them to address Thorn. So because then everyone would pick Thorn and, I don't know, probably Gjallarhorn.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Do you think that'll happen after E3? I honestly think weapon balance talks, you know, won't even occur probably till a week or two after the E3 stuff chilled out a bit.
Yeah.
But it's made its way onto Deej's community wish list.
Yeah,
so
it made it on there, what was that, like 2-ish weeks ago, I think?
It was like a week ago, actually, I think, because it was blowing up. Reddit was getting pretty saucy about Thorn, and Trials was kind of the catalyst that brought it to be. I mean, Thorn's been great since 1-1-1.
I don't know what you guys are talking about. Thorn is not OP.
Yeah, it's broken. There we go.
No.
It's just same old Thorn.
It's just where I think Bungie is secretly trying to take us back to the Halo 2 days where you only had one gun.
God cannon. Mm-hmm. God cannon.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. They wanted to God simplify cannon. PvP so that there isn't a lot of like change, you know, in guns. So they just make one gun above them all.
Yeah, that's why they're giving Hunter's Void, so it'll be easier for us to complete the bounty.
Right. So it's not, it's once again, Bungie is actually making these cerebral level decisions for us, you know?
Yes.
They are making it so that we only have one choice, really. Therefore leveling the playing field.
Yeah, how often would you actually pick up that plasma rifle unless you were actually out of ammo, right?
Right.
Yeah. See? Right. So they forced you to use those weapons. Yeah.
So Bungie is once again thinking at another level above us and providing us what we don't know we want, but giving it to us anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thorns.
Thorns. Has anybody noticed how gigantic they are when you shoot them into a wall?
Yeah.
When
you shoot them into the chest. Huge. The ether
they're
chest
daggers.
And the bullets from the thorn just hang there, and they're gigantic. They're like the size of my leg.
And in my mind, I'm thinking this is like a Lara Croft thing, where I should be able to go think up a wall and then like jump on them. They're that big. You know, thorns should actually be like an amazing, you know, parkour type gun where you just stick them into walls and then you could use them to get into like really amazing places.
The new mobility perk.
Yeah.
But seriously, nerf
Thorn. I really hope they do address it because Trials of Osiris, like if you're trying to find a group for it right now, it's must have Thorn. And must have final round effort eats, which is another thing, another discussion entirely, which we've done to death. But Thorn's another one right now where, you know, every team I go up against is damn near everyone is using Thorn, and it's frustrating to go up against. But if someone's trying to find a group, it's probably really difficult for them if they don't have Thorn either. Too much value is placed on this gun, and rightfully so, because it's it's really good. It's really good. If you're kind of a mediocre player and you use Thorn, I'm sorry, this will probably offend some people. If you're a mediocre or bad player and you're using Thorn, it kind of fixes some of the stuff that you're doing wrong. You only have to hit them 3 times in the body to kill them. You only have to hit them 2x in the head to kill them. You know, it tracks enemies for you. It keeps them from regenerating their health. It's just too good for what it is.
It slices, it dices, it minces, it, you know. I mean, it's a universal, like, PvP weapon, and it is kind of a crutch. It's a universal crutch for a lot of players. And
so what do you guys do to nerf it? Like, what do you guys do?
Well,
I think there's a couple I'd...
Sorry.
Go for it, man.
I just think that right off the bat, I think that the damage over time, I mean, initially, right off the bat, should not be allowed to damage you to death.
Mm-hmm. So it's like bleed through, essentially.
It can bleed out, but you can't die from it. You can't go below a certain health.
So you'll take away the 2 headshot kills, essentially.
Yeah. There just should be no way, or there should be no reason for a hand cannon, last word included. And I know that kills me inside.
Hawkmoon included.
There should be no.
To this place about the last word.
I mean,
I'm glad you can join the rest of us.
I mean, I just don't want them to limit, like. I just hate Thorn, like, using it. The feel of it just doesn't feel good for me as a player. So I want something that I can combat Thorn players with, and last word is as close as you can get to it. So for me, I want them to be done together. And I think the first thing I would do is make it so that damage over time can't kill you.
Well, would you include that just from damage over time from guns, or would you also include that for, like, you know, Warlock solar abilities?
No, I think that it really affects guns, and it really affects Thorn.
A couple ideas here.
Go for it,
the size of the bullet, you know, when we just talked about that, I feel like there should be a much smaller range that the weapon has because of the size of the bullet. You could just say, hey, it's got a nasty drop-off. Up close, this thing is good. But as it stands right now, if you put the right perks on, Thorn can do a very decent job at mid-range and beyond.
Like, as a small anecdote to that statement, the past week on Widow's Court for Trials of Osiris, you know, the long middle sniper causeway is the longest place on the map. I have my sniper rifle out. And the fog on the map makes it so it's a little bit difficult to see.
Yes.
So one other person saw my sniper glint, hit me before I could hit him with Thorn, and you can't counter snipe a Thorn player, especially on that map, because also Thorn now puts a glow effect on your screen that when you combine it with the fog, it makes your screen blindingly white and you can't see anything.
Hmm.
Yes.
But yeah, that's another thing. Continue.
Well, the other idea, doesn't the weapon consume light? So this idea came from my friend Asher. What if when you equipped the weapon in, let's say, Iron Banner, where a level advantage playlist, you lost a light level? There was some sort of a trade-off for equipping that weapon. With it being just... The damage over time is not something I like, just because it stands out so dramatically as something that slows the pace of the game down. Or at least in my mind it does. If you're a good player, you take one shot from the Thorn, you're most likely going to wait until that dot has been rinsed. You know what I'm saying? And you just multiply that factor against a whole team using Thorns. It slows the pace of the game down. And I'm just spitballing. I'd love to know, how do you think we solve this without upsetting the flow of the rest of the game, you know, keeping exotic still something powerful?
Honestly, I think all of the exotic hand cannons in general need to be looked at, because hand cannons are still overperforming, as much as I hate to say it. I know there's going to be a lot of listeners that don't want me to say it either, but it's true. They are overperforming. If you look at all the Trials teams, all of the teams, everyone's using hand cannons now. Or a lot of players are. And yeah, there's a lot of players that are also using Pulse Rivals to success, but a majority of them are using hand cannons, and it's these exotic ones that are really the main ones that are being used. So Last Word Thorn for Xbox and Hawkmoon on PlayStation are all seeing a lot more play than any other weapon out there. It's basically a Suros Regime case where, you know, they do need to address hand cannons, mainly the exotic ones, because those are the ones that are seeing the most play.
So what's interesting is you bring up the Suros Regime. The hand cannons actually saw a nerf the same time the Suros did, but the auto rifles got nerfed so hard that it allowed the hand cannons to kind of come to prominence. Mm-hmm. I wonder if, you know, if we looked at Thorn and just gave it maybe a pretty good ranged nerf and possibly slowed down the fire rate or something like that, just so it was just a little bit slower to kill, and then brought auto rifles and scout rifles up. Like, I wonder if it would just kind of even the playing field so that you wouldn't necessarily have to decimate Thorn. It could still be an awesome weapon, but it wouldn't be stand out the best weapon.
Mm-hmm. I really think it's the whole hand cannon archetype, because even if you were to just nerf Hawk, Moon, Thorn, and even Last Word, then the legendary variants of the hand cannons are still going to outperform, you know, scouts and pulse rifles. You know,
well, I mean, the time to Red kill, Death the time to kill is still quick. Can kill in two bursts, and
yeah, but they're no slow.
Legendary.
They're slow bursts.
Yeah, but
where like you can three shot really fast with a hand cannon.
Yeah, like I was using the Scholar this week, where it has, you know, or the Scholar Scout rifle, and it has it's a three shot headshot kill. It's a very powerful weapon. But the problem is two-shot burst scout pulse rifles are even quicker than that. And you better believe I lost every single fight to Thorn with that weapon.
Yep.
Well, I think that if you're within a close range of a hand cannon, you should win that gunfight.
I agree.
You should win that gunfight. Yeah. Now, if you are at a mid-range, your scout, your pulse rifle should win that gunfight. So you should trade with an auto rifle, if you're a pistol, if you're using a hand cannon, you should trade with an auto rifle, and it should bleed into a. If you're a good player with an auto rifle, you should win some of the engagements with the pulse rifle. I think it simply comes down to, and this is the mechanism that I keep telling people when they ask me in chat, what do you think should be nerfed and not? I think it comes down to mid or close mid and long range time to kills.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. So if the gun is intended as a mid-range support rifle, like a pulse rifle or a scout rifle, you should win those gunfights. If you are accurate with that weapon, you should win that engagement. If you are a hand cannon, your damage should bleed off at that range to a rate where the rounds hitting you should take an extra round. So you should have four rounds.
The Last Word, I think, is the worst offender of that.
Oh.
Yeah.
I think
no, really I mean, by far, the Thorn is. You're right.
No, the Last Word I'm talking
no,
about.
No, I know. I am so addicted to the Last Word. You have no idea. Like, I feel like if they nerfed the Last Word, I would have to relearn PvP in Destiny.
I'm okay with it still being awesome at close range. It's just that
Oh, I agree with you, Briar. It needs to be, like, just freaking neutered. But I get it. I get that.
It's got too much range.
It's got too much range. Hand cannons shouldn't be that far.
Here's the thing also. It comes down to a question of, do you think the time to kills are too quick in general at this point? Do they need to bring the ceiling of time to kills down? You know? So it's like takes just a little bit longer in general? Or is everybody happy with the way time to kills are? They're just concerned about range?
I think right now, for a majority of the weapons, time to kills are fine. Like, a normal hand cannon that takes three shots to kill, that's fine. A scout rifle that takes three shots or four shots, those are fine. Even like an auto rifle with only landing, like the summoner only landing headshots, is still pretty. That's like the tail end of time to kills, I think.
Yeah.
And then we still have. We just need to address the. We need to specifically address the weapons that have these really nasty time to kills. The hand cannons, the Thorns, the any of the other ones out there that still have that really quick time to kill.
If you pull back on Thorn in the Last Word too, the Hawk Moon is just going to be sitting there.
Oh yeah, no, Hawk Moon's going to be, you know,
like it, clearly it gets the best looked gun. Over a lot because it's not a guaranteed two-shot headshot like the Thorn is. But if nothing else is up there, then the Hawk Moon is just going to be sitting there.
No, I will agree. Like, Hawk Moon is my baby. But I will completely agree that the range on it is too good. Yeah. I think, honestly, one thing we could do is all these hand cannons have in common is that they all have the aggressive ballistics perk.
Yeah.
That might be something Bungie should look at taking off weapons. Only keep those on secondary weapons. Primary weapons, it just becomes that stat that you always want. Even on Last Word, when stability really helps it, aggressive ballistics is even better because it's going to deal more damage. Hawkmoon, it takes it up into almost a guaranteed two-shot headshot. You know, Thorn, it makes it just do even more damage with aggressive ballistics. So that should be something that they should honestly take away from pretty much every single one of these exotic primaries.
Well, here's the problem, Patrick, that we haven't brought up yet, and I think that the when I was talking to John Wisnowski from Bungie about this, is that, I mean, if you've got a boss that you can, one of your raiding party has Thorn, you know, and it keeps, like, Crota, shooting Crota with Thorn was effective at him, you know, not allowing his shields to come back. So I don't know. I mean, I think that the problem is that they're trying very hard to balance a weapon to live in both worlds when I think almost the problem they need to address is that they should behave differently.
No, they should. I should have agreed. We should have started this conversation out with these changes that we're talking about should only apply to PvP, because that's where the frustration comes from using these weapons. If we get, you know, obviously if someone loves using Thorn in PvE, I do not want them to have to be affected by these changes, because in the realm that, you know, that they don't play, if they love Thorn in PvE, that's all they play, I don't want their favorite weapon to be affected by a game mode that they never touch. That should be the top priority of one of these, of changes like this. We saw Bungie's able to do it with shotguns, but we should definitely...
Yeah, and that was also the first time. Yeah. That was the first time they did that, because they avoided it up until that point, and then they realized, oh, shotguns need a serious buff in PvE.
Exactly.
And they had to split it out, so now the damages do completely different.
Even in that instance, though, they nerfed auto rifles in both PvP and PvE.
Exactly.
Which really, I don't think auto rifles needed it in PvP.
It was definitely a mistake.
Well, yeah.
And same thing with the gunslinger's gun. It got nerfed in PvE, and you notice that the accuracy is far less in comparison.
Which that didn't even happen. We haven't even touched on yet either is the fact that whatever happens in terms of weapon balance, there will always be a top tier set of weapons, regardless of what happens. Yeah. And I want to ask the question, patch 1.1.1 came out back in February, just like 6 months after the launch of Destiny. Do you think we should see more frequent weapon tuning patches, almost like seasons? You know, let's say StarCraft. I play a lot of StarCraft. There's probably, I think, 3 or 4 seasons. That's more than that, but let's say 4 seasons within the year, and it's a different rotation of the maps, and they usually pertain big balance changes to these seasons, last 3-4 months long. Mm-hmm. I would love to see something similar in Destiny, where if we had a new season change, they could do themed, you know, different maps, but more importantly, weapon changes more often, so that we have this circulating pool of what is effective. Now, again, that's could alienate people who worked really hard for that Thorn. There's the listener going, I just finished that bounty, and I don't want to see this weapon get nerfed. Yeah. But I'm just curious, do you think we should see more tuning patches?
I wouldn't
want to
see it too fast, because I'd be afraid that it'd be too reactionary, and it takes a while for like the meta of these games to kind of get figured out by the player base, you know?
Yes.
After 1.1.1, Thorn was not immediately like this red flag. It kind of it took a while for it to become a thing. I think, you know, it did become a thing, and then Trials really...
The catalyst.
Yeah, it was like, it really drove it home, but I wouldn't want it to be so fast that it feels like it's reactionary to whatever the latest post is on Reddit.
Of course.
But a little bit faster wouldn't hurt.
I would love it if we had a seasons type of thing for the weapons, because I want to use different weapons, but I'm forced to stick with the hand cannons because of the time to kill, and if we had, like, if we knew that in the spring there's going to be auto rifles, and then in the fall it's going to be, or summer is going to be hand cannons, and then the fall was scout rifles, and then pulse rifles in the winter, something like that. If there was some sort of balancing like that, I would really enjoy that. Like, I would not be opposed to that at all.
I wouldn't want it to be as, you know, as obvious as what you were saying, Teffy, where we know which weapon's going to be, you know, the one addressed, or the one that becomes the new powerhouse, but have a little bit more care in mind when doing some of these weapon tuning changes. Not as quite of a knee-jerk reaction as Thorn has been. I'm using Thorn as an example here because it's a weapon that rightfully deserved a buff, and then like it deserved a small buff. What they did to it was it was too much at the start. And then they also added in the fact that, oh, now it also blinds you if you're colorblind. And then it also it also, like, whispers to you now if you get shot by it. So it's like, come on. Come on. But, that's a recent change.
But here's the thing, though. Prior to the Suros getting nerfed, everybody complained about Suros being prevalent in Iron Banner.
True.
You know?
That was also because of the auto, right? There's a lot of things that attributed to that.
But still, you could compete with a Thorn.
Oh, yeah.
With the Suros back then. You know, and then it got nerfed enough to where everybody had to find the next thing, and obviously the Thorn has definitely become that.
Part of the problem with the Suros was that it is an auto rifle. Auto rifles are pretty much the easiest type of weapon to use.
Yep.
You know, because you just hold down the trigger and aim. So,
and they had a high aim assist, too.
Yeah, of course everybody's going to be using it because it's the easiest gun to use well. I feel like it was an overreaction what they did to the auto rifles.
Oh, I agree. Well, I think they took the Blizzard approach of, you know, if something's overperforming, just put it into the ground and then
Here's the problem with that is that I love to be, personally, I like to play as the mid-range support player. So I like to look for call-outs, call out teams on weak sides, play the mid-range of a map, and pop shields, right? I typically get a lot of assists, and auto rifles were my thing. Even now, after auto rifles got nerfed and I play a lot of hand cannons, the gun that I still have the most kills with is the Suros still. So you know, I know that it needed to get nerfed because in its design, it was designed to be, you know, put a lot of rounds downrange, plug up some gaps, but not a slayer like it was designed to be. I think they took it out of its niche and put it into the back in the closet, you know. Every once in a while when you get killed by a Suros or a auto rifle, you're like, oh, hey, look, I just got killed by a Suros. I think they went overboard and they took it out of that mid-range support player's role.
See, also why I brought that up, too, is because we didn't know about the Thorn's overpoweredness until Suros got nerfed. You know, it wasn't apparent because even when it just had 6 bullets, it was still technically, you know, an amazing hand cannon.
I mean, I was very well aware of it just because my threes team, that's the weapon that we use. So we, like, the people that knew about Thorn being good, they were like, yeah, please buff it. Make it even better than it already is.
Yeah.
And then, you know.
The Thorn's been on a roller coaster, right? Yeah. It started off really, really bad. It got really good. And it actually, in 1.1.1, it got buffed. I mean, it got nerfed. Which is crazy because it was actually better than it is now.
But even when it, even in its incarnation, it was still good. Even with the 6 bullets.
Yeah, it was really good.
Yeah, it's just everybody used Suros.
Yeah, its reload and stability were a little bit rough. But, you know, even if they had just kept the 6 rounds and then made the buff to the stability and the reload, hey, it would be a fairly balanced weapon, honestly.
So, I kind of want to like talk more about the new content and like
definitely.
I want to talk about Skolas a little bit.
Yeah. In the weekly update, you know, I think this started out as a weekly update conversation and more.
It's funny how
Thorn.
Tons of our conversations go to weapon balancing and Thorn.
Yeah. Well, it's what's really on our minds, I guess. But in addition to that crate that we don't know exactly what's inside it, some really good things were in the weekly update. Some things that I'm very glad that Bungie has been so keen on quickly addressing. We know that they very quickly address this. These changes that I'm about to say are going to be put in the next week, if I remember.
Yeah, E3 update, right?
Yeah, the E3. There's going to be new modifier combinations, so Arc, Void, and Solar Burn are not going to be there anymore. So we're going to see some of the new ones, most likely.
You're talking about Skolas specifically.
The Skolas fight specifically. Yes, the boss health will be reduced to compensate for the lack of burn. Minions that spawn will be at predictable health intervals. So instead of on a 90-second respawn timer, which they're at, which is just enough time to kill all of them right now and put like two couple shots into Skolas, it's going to be on like a health-based percent, probably like 80% health, 60% health, 40% health, 20% health. So it comes around the same time as the mines, but you just have to be careful of when you push them or not. And then minor adjustments to the makeup of the actual combat waves. So we're not going to be seeing, you know, 20 servitors that have not more health than the boss itself. Something like that. Or, you know, all shielded captains or all, you know, vandals that just snipe you. So we'll see a little bit changing there. And those were the really big things about the fight itself. Mechanically, if you had the just take the Skullless fight, have adds that come out every so often, health percentage now, and then the actual mechanics of it, of the poison and the mines, that's a really fun, interesting, good fight.
Well, I think the change of activating the other skulls.
Exactly.
You know, I think that that's really, really fascinating. The perk, what's the one where you have a really, you have more health and shield, but then it
exposure.
Doesn't... Exposure. Imagine Skullless with exposure.
Oh, it'd be interesting.
Awesome. Yeah, so, I mean, it's not going to get easier, per se.
No.
It's going to get a lot, I think it's going to get more challenging.
Yeah, because
but what they're trying to accomplish is they're trying to keep the one and dominating tactic of a Skullless burn to be the only one that's viable for most players.
I was so confused by, like, the first 4 weeks we only saw burns. And my question is, Bungie, were burns the only thing, the only modifiers that you had planned on that? Because, wow, that
would appear so, because they're lowering the health of the boss so that we can do it without the burn.
They also said that the time it was taking for the encounter to get completed was way off the charts. And they didn't expect it to be like, oh, some people were taking like 2 hours to be able to conquer this.
Yeah,
and they did not want that.
When Datto and I got together to like think up an actual strategy for the current version of Skullless, when he was on arc damage nonetheless, it took us 2.5 hours to not only think up a strategy, but then to apply that strategy, which was very quick to think up. I think we figured out the strategy in like about 30 minutes, and then it took us basically the next 2 hours of just wiping over and over to the adds that were spawning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they didn't intend that. So I think that's good. I think that's good they're adjusting that.
I think and that also, week too, the arc damage was particularly punishing.
Yeah, it was brutal.
The tracking arc bullets.
they even mentioned that in the update. Like, off, the elemental burns provided to be too punishing, being one shot by tracking arc fire, for example. So
Do you guys think he'll still have a nuke down strategy with the reduced like health?
I hope not.
Do you think we'll still see like a minute? And
I'm sure. I'm sure everyone like everyone that went in there and only did it during doing nuke strategies, the first thing that they're gonna try is, hey, can we do a simple nuke strategy again with this?
Yeah.
Well, here's my thought is that even when it was void damage, you could still nuke him with Gjallarhorns.
Really?
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah,
they'd alternate with snipers, right? You'd have like Praetus, right? Or
so you sniper. just have the sniper that stun locks him, be that elemental burn, and then everybody else is using the other two are using Gjallarhorn.
It's maybe like they ought
to nerf Gjallarhorn while they're doing.
Blasphemy!
that was Briar Rabbit. Whoa, Briar. That said that.
Whoa, Briar!
Briar Rabbit. You can find him at the Briar Rat.
Yeah. Get message your comments him. Ready.
That, Briar Rabbit's opinions are not that at Planet Death.
the best salt fight we've had with Skullless so far, right, was the Void Week, right? It felt like a fair fight.
I thought that I had a really good time playing that fight with Void damage, and that's maybe because I had the Scholar. The scout rifle from playing Trials of Osiris. I had that in Void.
And I watched you do that on stream. So. That was a really good fight. That's
right. Yeah, that was fun. That was a lot of fun.
Even this week, it's back to Solar, and Skullless himself does Solar damage. If he gets you with his Scorch Cannon, he takes everything but like a tick of your health away.
Yeah, you're done.
And then those captains, man, they just bum rush you. And if you don't, if you happen to miss one of those coming, you're dead. Like, they just come at you with their Scorch Cannon, too, or whatever their cannon is.
Yeah. And it speaks more to their point as to why they're taking the elemental damage off. Because, you know, when I was talking to the stream, I prefer not to use the burn strat, right? I prefer not to. I prefer to engage in the boss fight mechanics and have fun, challenging things. But when it gets to the point where it's not challenging, it's not fun anymore. It's not fun to get, you know, bum rushed by a captain, and it was really a frustrating mix for me personally, the captains. And so when I looked at it, I'm like, okay, well, I'm not gonna sit here and bash my head against the wall. I'm just gonna burn him down. I don't think they solve the. I think if you still want to play the game that way, you should. Yeah, done. Gjallarhorn's there. Just burn him away if you want. But it makes the other strategies viable at that point.
Yeah. And also, if you only have one Gjallarhorn. It's like one Gjallarhorn, you can burn him down to however much one will do, and then do sniping and play the encounter the way it should be after you get his health down.
I just don't party
Who
up
only
with
has
that
one
Gjallarhorn?
I got like five of them. It'll only allow me to bring one of them.
I can only equip one at a time. There's just
I have two on the Xbox, zero on the PS4. So
I just want to be able to dual wield Gjallarhorn.
You guys can go stroke your Gjallarhorns in the corner.
Hold down Y and dual wield Gjallarhorn. What's wrong with that?
Well, I think we need to wait and see what the health reduction is going to be to make the final opinion.
Sure,
but in terms of the weapons, or excuse me, the enemy spawning at more consistent points instead of the 90 seconds, I think that's overall a huge positive step.
You can get a small reprieve during the fight of, okay, we can finally stop, breathe for a second, you know, let's revive people, not, okay, we got 10 seconds until the next wave comes in, okay, just go ahead and find what ammo you can get, because we're going to die on this wave, probably.
Yeah. Which it's pretty great. I mean, we got to experience a season or a month of Skullus being very difficult, and Bungie actually has had to nerf him. That's kind of like a first in a way. Yeah.
Yeah. Another thing this shows is how quick Bungie's become about kind of reacting to the to players' views on this game. It's like they're so much faster than they were at the beginning.
Yeah.
And it's not easy. I mean, people think that it's just if Bungie just flips a switch and they can. They can put a patch out. The process, think about it though. Like, I mean, just to educate people on when consoles go to do a patch, that means that something is being downloaded onto your console through their network, through Xbox Live or PlayStation. So when a patch goes into effect, they have to have that go through both Xbox One, Xbox 360, PlayStation 3 and PlayStation 4's network approval process. So it is not as simple as just like, oh, Bungie wants to do a patch. Press the button. There, everybody has the patch. There's a whole bureaucratic process behind that. Well, I say bureaucratic, but it actually has, you know, merit. PlayStation and Xbox don't want a patch to go running out through their network that bricks consoles.
Yeah, or creates a security hole.
Right. So they have to test it for good reason. And so sometimes there's changes that want to be implemented or that Bungie wants to implement that take time for good reason. And they're not necessarily Bungie holding them up. It's the testers at PlayStation and the network testers at PlayStation and Xbox that are vetting through that download to make sure that they're not making more headaches than they're worth. So I think that's something that is important for people to know, that the process for updating the game, it's extreme in my mind, like you're saying, Briar, I'm really impressed at how fast they're able to put in these patches, because I know that the process behind how long it takes and what they have to go through to get one submitted.
Yeah, they're very responsive of late.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
They're listening.
I wanted to talk a little bit about Vault Space. Are you guys having a problem with Vault Space at all?
A
mega
problem? Oh, you know. Just Trials and Prison of Elders.
No, I'm deleting stuff like it's nobody's business, man. I come to the point where I'm just deleting stuff.
Yeah. Like
Prison of Elders is going to have four different sets of armor.
I just don't even care about that armor now. Like, I can do the fights in a very reasonable time without any of that armor. So there's no incentive for me to have any of the Prison of Elders armor.
Have you used the full set of it in Prison of Elders?
I've used it on my Warlock in the Fallen area,
and it's
good.
It's a huge difference.
Yeah, it's a huge difference. But at the same time, I don't need it. It's not something that I might keep a set for the Vex area just because that area sucks.
Mm-hmm.
But all the other areas are pretty simple to get through.
It makes sense to me to at least keep the Fallen.
Oryx, yeah.
He's going to be a giant shank. Just a huge one.
That's why we're getting all that
it all makes sense
stuff now.
Yeah. It's like, why do we have this? Oh, that's why.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm getting to the point where I'm really thinking about just deleting my Crota's End gear. Like, just getting rid of it.
I deleted everything but the highest set rolls I had. I created a class within it that I just basically have dubbed the Dark Below class that is most effective against the Thrall, right? And the you know, those elements of the hive, and it has the perk set up for doing the Crota raid, like, you know, an orb replenishes health and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I kept my best set of Crota gear for each one of my characters, and then so if I ever go do a Crota raid, it has that, or, you know, I'm playing the hive, I can put it on. But other than that, I deleted everything else. I must have deleted at least 6 full sets of armor for each one of my characters. Yeah.
Even exotics, I'm taking a really hard look at. Like,
yeah,
we learned about this golden gun glitch on the Hunter, I was taking a hard look at the Ahamkaras, the claws of Ahamkaras. Like, yeah. I mean, it is tough right now. Just like every time you get a new piece of gear, it's like you have to delete something else.
Yeah. I almost deleted my Shadow Press. Really close. I didn't, though. I kept
good,
it.
Good.
Yeah,
okay.
I would have. It's not a record.
I kept my Vanquisher.
Get it out.
If it stays this way for another year, oh my gosh. It's going to be some really hard choices.
Yeah. I know.
For sure. No, I mean, I guess vault space is important, Briar, but I'm almost at a point where, you know, it's forcing me to do something that I should have done anyway.
I don't know. I feel...
My mom.
Hey, you know what? It's time to clean your room, Briar. You know what?
I don't want to.
Whatever doesn't fit into this box, I'm giving to the Goodwill, Briar. So, you know, that's what you can, whatever toys don't fit into this box.
I'm on Briar's side. I want to keep it all.
Cool stuff. It's like reserving something. Like
there's
a
Shadow Price at the Goodwill.
Yeah. Oh, my God. It's got glass half full, too. Oh,
no way.
Oh, my God.
I got Field Scout and Glass Half Full on mine, and Reactive Reload or something.
Yeah, I have something similar to that on my Vanquisher, and I really, really love it.
Yeah. I want to keep all of it. I don't want to delete them. I want more Vault Space, too.
I especially feel attached to that really old stuff, like that original Destiny stuff, because there's a lot of players that came in
OG,
and Dark Below
OG
and
Destiny.
They never saw it.
I wish I had kept some of my weapons. One of my friends, he has a final boss sniper rifle that just has godly rolls on it. And I was like, man, if I could have kept that, that would have been sick.
It's nostalgic every time I get killed by one of those.
Yeah.
I see it and I'm like, oh, yeah.
Yep.
I remember. So every time the Surios comes out, it's like, oh, you went 88 miles per hour back to the future. That's amazing.
Oh, my goodness.
I heard about those, Grandpa.
I was actually playing with the Devil You Know a couple of days ago.
Yep.
And that gun is still good.
It is.
I extended mine to 365, and I was loving it.
You know what? I'm gonna do that right now. I'm just gonna grab my Devil You Know, and I'm gonna send it because I have such good memories with that hand cannon.
That used to be my go-to Nightfall gun.
Yeah, like honestly, Bungie, if you're listening. The Devil You Know hand cannon, that's what you want to model all hand cannons off after. It's beautiful. It's perfect. Like, it's simple. It's ascended now. It's amazing.
All right. Settle down.
A lot of hand cannon talk here, guys. A lot of hand cannons.
Well, and I'm sorry. I just have it in my hands right now, and I want to show it to everyone.
Hey, you get in trouble with that.
That, for whatever reason, that just reminded me. BBK, you said about Thorn consuming light.
Yeah.
And I wanted to bring this up, but I didn't mention it. And we're getting towards the end of this, so I'm just going to throw this out here. What if that perk also consumed some of your shield when it was ticking on somebody else's shield?
Oh,
I like it.
Oh.
I just want some balance, man. I think that's a good idea. And if you overuse it, right?
Right.
Maybe it's a toggle. You can like toggle the dot on and off.
Yeah. It's too much. Too much.
Okay.
Too much.
Right. Just saying, though, that would be an interesting balance. It'd be like forego some of your shield for an extra damage on theirs.
Mm-hmm. Right? What you will find is that people choose to do more damage pretty much every time.
Well, here's the thing, though. If you were ticking damage as well, then you would automatically become a two-shot from just about any high-damage weapon. Well, just something to think about, guys. Something to think about. I'll let that one simmer.
All right, guys. Well, that was the 21st episode of the Planet Destiny podcast. I think we had some good discussions here. This is the episode before E3, so next time you hear us, we are going to be...
At E3?
Either at E3 or... Maybe, possibly. I don't know. We'll see what happens. This has been Patrick Casey with Planet Destiny. If you want to find me, you can go on Twitter at Holtzman_PD.
I'm Briar Rabbit. You can find me at the Briar Rabbit on Twitter or at the Briar Rabbit channel on YouTube.
This has been Teft's Teft. You can talk to me at Teft on Twitter. You can check out my channel, Tefty Teft Games. And I'm also streaming for Planet Destiny as well. Make sure to check out that schedule.
And this is Pope Bear. You can find me at Pope Bear on Twitter. And as well with Tefty, we and Wally and Patrick, we are all streaming on the Planet Destiny channel on Twitch.
This is BBK Dragoon. You can find me at youtube.com/BBKDragoon or check out our news podcast at destinytheshow.com. Thanks, guys, again. It's always a blast.
Yep, absolutely. Glad to have you on. You're definitely a good reoccurring guest to have on. You promote good discussion. Anyway,
thank you.
Anyway, guys, we'll see you next week.